All right, Nemo. We're at ABMS, third iteration. Second one was in Ethiopia, which you guys hosted.
Yep.
This time it's Quantum Labs. I unfortunately didn't make the last one. But I wanted to get you back on HashRateUp and have a quick discussion in person this time, finally, not via camera, to talk about Ethiopia and what mining is like there at the moment. So if you don't mind, just give us a brief update, how things are going with QRB Labs, your expansions, and then globally on a more macro spectrum, how's Bitcoin mining perceived these days? Because I've also had some interesting debates on LinkedIn, but we can get into that next thing.
HashRateUp. Hardware sales, advisory, hosting, and site brokerage. Find new and used ASIC deals through the website and the Telegram channel below. Make smarter decisions with HashRateUp.
Yeah, QRB Labs, I'd say I've separated into two parts. The operational part is going really well, you know, in terms of improving our operations, so training the team, optimizing the data center efficiency. And if it's that's I would say going really well, and then we're also trying to expand, which means a lot of difficulties in bringing equipment in. Just as we were, thought we had fulfilled all the requirements and we're getting ready to expand, some regulations changed a few months ago. It's almost like starting from scratch again. So I would say that there's a mix of very nicely, efficiently running operation, and then very challenging still. After all this time, it's still challenging to deal with the regulations and around imports, especially. Yeah.
Why do you think, what needs to change for that to be easier, the import side of things?
So I think it's generally a general thing in Ethiopia. Imports of anything, actually, not just in our industry, is always the bottleneck. That's always the hard part. Even you talk to some people who, whether it's you're importing equipment for data centers or food or cars or spare parts. And I think imports are kind of like they encapsulate so many of the problems of the country, because there's the currency issues there's a huge amount of suspicion and control around what comes in and what comes out and how much tax you pay. So I think the real answer is the broader just liberalization of the economy, and maybe just taking a more relaxed view to say, let's let the stuff come in. Don't try to micromanage. There's like the regulation that I was just talking about that changed. It's like 50 page appendix listing like so many narrow little categories. And then if you are this, then you are allowed to bring this, but you're allowed to bring a spoon, but you're not allowed to bring a fork. And then there's a whole bureaucracy that will check if your spoon is actually a fork. Free trade, that's the answer.
And nevertheless, we've now have how much megawatts roughly in the country?
My understanding is a gigawatt, maybe a little more than that, because there's some of the companies that are already in the process of deploying are still adding. I mean, are still implementing what they were planning. So I would say a little bit over 1 gigawatt.
Okay. I mean, so that means enough people have navigated this, right?
Yeah.
Yes, it still remains difficult. What would you say is the current sentiment around it? Because I know not too long ago there were reports about.
Yeah.
No, you say it stems from misinformation or maleducation, I guess, around the journalists and stuff like that. But what is the sentiment right now around Bitcoin mining on the other governments and the EPP sides, the Ethiopian power, producer power?
Ethiopian Electric PR, EEP. And then there's
talk to sentiment a little bit about that, and then we're talking about substations.
About maybe around 5-6 months ago, we hit a point of really where everything was negative. And I think partly because international media started hyping up the fact that, Ethiopia 1 gigawatt, and we were part of it because, we also wanted to educate the public. So it kind of hit the radar of the general press, and then a lot of people on social media who really don't really know much about what it is started attacking it. And so I think about 6 months ago, it hit a point where there was a lot of negative publicity. Now I think it's kind of neutral. It's recovered a little bit. And so I would say it's pretty neutral now. The fact that this 1 gigawatt is generating revenue at a rate of about $25 million a month or $300 million a year run rate for energy, for electricity that was not going to be sold. So this $300 million is the real bottom line. So you can have a lot of opinions and you can talk about this is good, this is bad, blah, blah, blah. But at the end of the day, the people who matter, I think, appreciate that important point
yeah.
in the short term. And also the long-term benefit is sort of, we're still working on getting that understood. So I'd say we're in a neutral place right now. The power company has stopped giving new power purchase agreements for Bitcoin miners, which I think to me is not unreasonable. It's not a ban or anything like that. It's just to say, hey, which is how it's been reported.
And that is a very important distinction.
Yeah.
So there's no ban on Bitcoin mining in Ethiopia. There's just a hold on new entrants coming into the market.
For power purchase agreements, right?
Why? Because they want to sort of see how it develops?
Yeah. And I think, I think that it went a bit farther. I think it was always the case, by the way. These are professionals who manage the capacities just like any other business. You have to know how much you can sell and then how much you could, and then sell, not sell more than that. So I think, even if it was just purely a business decision, you would reach points where you would say, well, okay, we're full right now. We're going to entertain new demand when we have more capacity. We're going to prioritize. And their priority, as well as ours, has always been that Bitcoin miners are using the excess power that nobody else is using. So as long as there's other uses that are growing in different locations, those should have priority. So I think that's one thing. And then the other thing that has been paused is for foreign companies to come and get the investment license, which you need to get the tax incentives to bring the machines in. It's not, strictly speaking, it's not legally required. You don't need an investment license to invest, but you do need it if you don't want to pay like extremely high taxes.
Okay.
So that has been paused as well.
This episode is sponsored by Hashbranch, the easiest way to mine Bitcoin in the US. Sourcing hardware and rack space usually is a mess. Bad deal structures, misaligned incentives, and no visibility after deployment. I have placed tens of thousands of ASICs in partnership with Hashbranch. What I like most is that they cut through the noise. Fair pricing, aligned terms, and access to hosting that actually works. Use code HASHRATEUP100, visit hashbranch.com today to get $100 off of each miner that you order.
I asked you earlier about the importation into Ethiopia, because we talked already about on the panel how difficult it was to get the transformers, the infrastructure, the machines in. Now, I already said earlier we have like 600 megawatts online.
No, gig.
Oh, gig, right?
600 was a year ago.
Even 1.6 is what Abby said, right? So enough people have navigated the import. What can we do to make it easier in the future? What needs to happen to support more growth?
It's a real bottleneck still. Yeah, that's the biggest bottleneck. And I think, to simplify imports, there's two things I would say. One is we have a big source of the bottleneck is this concept that we have these investment licenses, right? You have to have the license to get the tax incentives on the import. Otherwise, if you don't have an investment license, the price of the machines doubles and the whole business is impossible, right? What I would say is abolish investment licenses and say that, because it's saying that if we want to encourage a certain industry, then that should have a low tax rate. Let's say we should have a simple system where you have a low import duty on machines would be much better and healthier across the board, because we save a lot of time and the government would still probably make more money instead of what we have now, which is you have either low tax rate, but you have to go through this really difficult licensing process to get it, and then or extremely high tax rate and it's impossible. So I would say, instead, it's like any taxation system. it's don't have really high taxes and then weird loopholes. He said, just abolish the incentive. Just make it a reasonable rate that is across the board. And that will eliminate a lot of the difficulty, which is, do you have a license? Did you renew your license? What's the condition for the license? And then in the end, we still do it. The machines still come in. So nothing was accomplished except wasting a lot of time. So the first thing I would say is, on the import side, is abolish investment licenses and these special incentives. Just make it a uniform, simpler system, right? Number one. Number two is the other source, not currently, but especially at the beginning and still there, is like there is also this security approval for these machines that you have to go through every single time. And it doesn't benefit anyone. Because once the government has determined that this machine is not a security threat, why should we go through the same hoop every single time, right? It's just people who are doing security should be spending their time doing real security and not like going through this ridiculous process where I mean, submit 15 documents every single time and then get permission for the same thing over and over and over again. And in this case, there is no security threat. Like, we know Bitcoin is open source.
We know.
With the import, and the information is up there. And so I think eliminate that additional step of approval for every single machine should just be eliminated. So
playing devil's advocate, mm-hmm. right? There's a lot of jobs attached to the complicated bureaucracy when it comes to importing, mm-hmm. right? So that's probably also another incentive not to make it easier.
Yeah.
Talk to me, also added question about used machines, right? Importing used machines is not easily possible because you need all the paperwork, as I understand it. Talk to me about, you know.
Technically, yeah, it's forbidden. Again, it's you're not allowed to import used machines. Why? It's not really a good reason, but it's under that security approval for imports. When your machines come, if they're used, they will say, no, you can't bring it in. It just does. It's yet one more obstacle that's created because you have this approval every time, right? Like, so if you didn't have this approval, then this condition would not have crept up.
Right.
And that's actually ironic because the used machines, you know, it's an economic decision, as you know, in the business of mining. You can have cheap used machines or expensive new machines. It's a complicated trade-off. You know, each miner has to find the right optimal balance before themselves. And by adding this rule, that doesn't really make sense. It's just kind of cutting off one part of the opportunity that we have as a business to optimize and be more efficient.
Yeah.
It's again a function of when you create more and more and more steps in the import process, each step organically over time takes a life of its own and becomes more complicated and creates weird incentives.
Yeah.
And the whole bureaucracy evolves around it. And then at the end of the day, all it creates is enormous wasted time.
Yeah. And I mean, for South Africa, the same thing goes, right? I'm trying to import used machines to South Africa. I mean, all kinds of licenses. Why? Because they don't want people to dump their electronic waste. That's the argument, right?
But I know, actually, the used machine, it also has a negative side effect, which, you know, in Ethiopia, now that we have a lot of miners, you know, it would be great for the economy if there was an additional ecosystem of repairs and storage, buyers, sellers, brokers. We could have a whole business around electronic repairs that develops and develops skills, create jobs. That's kind of, and by banning used machines, you're effectively killing a side industry that could be that would be cool, right? Like, just even if you just think about it from the jobs and skills point of view,
for sure,
it would be awesome to have massive, repair and trade and machine parts exchange and all that.
We'll get there.
Yeah, we'll get there.
Right, Nemo. This was Director CEO of QIB Labs in Ethiopia. If you have any questions, reach out. We're easily accessible. Right?
All right.
All right. Cheers.
Bye.